From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The Illinois House of Representatives is set to return to Springfield today to begin the 2026 spring legislative session. Lawmakers face a projected $2.2 billion budget shortfall, ongoing battles with the Trump administration over immigration agents and election policy, and concerns about the rising cost of living. Joining me to preview this session is Emmanuel Chris Welch, Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives. He's a Democrat from Hillside, now entering his sixth year leading the chamber. In order to accommodate the speaker's schedule, he and I spoke last Friday afternoon. Because of that, no calls today, but you can let us know what you thought. Our email address, talk@21stshow.org. Speaker Welch, welcome back to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Brian. It's always a pleasure.
You've said this session is all about affordability. What does that mean in practice?
You know, what it really means is, you know, we're going to continue to do the things that we can control here in Illinois. We see what's coming out of Washington, and due to the policies of President Trump, you know, the cost of living continues to rise. He promised Americans that, you know, costs of groceries and things of that nature would go down on day one. And what we're seeing is the cost of living just continues to rise under this president. And so we're in the midst of an affordability crisis. And we are going to continue to be laser focused in the Illinois legislature on doing things to bring costs down. For instance, January 1st, we repealed the grocery tax to help bring down the cost of groceries. We passed the transit reform bill in the veto session to keep trains and buses running on time and people can get to and from work. For many people in the Chicagoland area, that's the only way they can get to work. And so that's very much an affordability issue. We passed an energy package that we believe is going to bring down the cost of utility bills, not just in the short term, but also in the long term. So it's that type of work that we want to stay focused on to continue to help bring costs down. And I think there are some things we didn't get done in the veto session that we can pick up on where we left off, try to deliver some things on homeowners insurance reform, auto insurance reform, trying to do some things to bring down the cost of prescription drugs. People are struggling, Trump and Washington Republicans, and we're going to do our best we can to help bring costs down.
You know, and that is an interesting point. I understand this is, you know, a lot of surveys say this is a top concern for voters, Democratic, Republican, across the spectrum. And yet so many of these issues are really beyond the ability of any one state to influence. We're talking about global trade disputes, wars across the world. How much can Illinois really do, especially when some things, like you mentioned, the grocery tax, many Illinois communities have reinstituted that tax. So ultimately, it's a wash for, you know, people at the checkout counter.
That's why I say we're going to focus on the things that we can control. We can control the things that we can control. Many states, many of the municipalities did not reinstate the grocery tax. And those communities are going to see immediate savings in their grocery prices. And that's because we gave municipalities that ability to do that. And particularly with utility bills, we know we've controlled what we can control to help bring costs down there. We're looking at other things that we control. The problem we have is we have a president who is totally out of control, who doesn't respect the Constitution, believes it's something that he can just rip up and ignore. You know, he's putting tariffs on anything and everything that he can possibly put a tariff on, and it's driving up the cost of living. Republicans in many places across the country, even Darren LaHood here in Illinois, they're finally admitting that this tariff policy that the president has implemented is costing Americans more every single day.
You mentioned the insurance issue. We've seen homeowners insurance go up for a lot of people. Say more about what some of the things are you're considering there. I've seen this idea of, you know, giving the Department of Insurance some more authority over rate hikes. How does that work?
Yeah, you know, there's a bill out there that Assistant Majority Leader Robin Gable is pushing. It's already passed the Senate. It's sitting in the House. It's a bill that we weren't able to get across the hump in the veto session. I know she's you know, looking at that bill, working with members of the caucus, trying to address whatever concerns they have out there to try to address that specific issue when it comes to homeowners insurance. when it comes to auto insurance, we're trying to work with our Secretary of State to address some concerns that he's brought to our attention that we believe will help with redlining and poor neighborhoods and help bring costs down for those who need it the most. And I'm hoping that we can get that done before we leave the spring session.
So we've been talking some about affordability. The state, as you know, is facing a potential $2.2 billion budget gap. That's from the Governor's Office of Management and Budget late last year, heading into the next fiscal year, the year that begins this summer. For Republicans, I'm sure they will say, and I'm going to be talking to Senate Republican Leader Curran later in the program, reducing taxes, reducing the burden on regulatory burden on businesses will be some of their ideas. Democrats often think about spending money on new programs aimed at helping people, but of course, that requires more money. So how do you balance affordability measures with this deficit outlook?
Listen, a budget document, when done correctly, is a reflection of your morals and beliefs. It very much goes to an affordability argument. I've been speaker now 5 years, and we've passed balanced budgets that are both responsible and compassionate. Every year I've been speaker, we have helped folks with their child care assistance. We have helped folks with tuition assistance to go into community colleges and four-year colleges. We're seeing record enrollment at our colleges and universities and because of the help that we're giving folks. A budget very much goes to affordability. Because of the things we're able to do, you're seeing people able to go to work and drop their kids off at childcare facilities. Because of the budget work we're doing, you're seeing more and more people being able to afford to go to college and get the degree that they need to set them up for their careers. But we're also seeing, you know, Illinois recently ranked as the best place when it comes to workforce development. That's because of the investments we've been making in our budget. It very much goes directly to affordability. And while the Republicans can talk, they never do the walk. They haven't voted for a budget since I've been speaker. And that's the biggest thing that we can do to help when it comes to this affordability crisis. Pass balanced budgets that are both responsible and compassionate and let our values speak through that budget document.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are speaking with House Speaker Chris Welch. We taped this conversation last Friday in order to make schedules meet, but as we are going to air on Tuesday, the House is set to return to Springfield to begin its spring legislative session. Speaker Welch, as you know, in the last couple of years since the Safety Act became law, and particularly the Pretrial Fairness Act component of that, which ended money bond in Illinois for people accused but not convicted of crimes. Every time there's some terrible crime and somebody has been released under the provisions of this change in the law, there you hear calls to reform the law, to change it. You have indicated that you are open to considering some changes to the Safety Act now. Can you talk about what you might be expecting or what you're considering?
Brian, first of all, let me say that I believe the Safety Act is good policy. I believe the Safety Act, when passed, it was the legislature playing the infinite game. It's a law that I believe is helping to make Illinois better. And that's not just partisan rhetoric. All you got to do is look at the data, look at the headlines that have come out here in early 2026, that Chicago saw a record reduction in violence in 2025. One of the reasons, many people, judges will tell you, is because of the Safety Act. Judges have the ability to lock bad guys up, and they're doing that pursuant to their authority granted to them in the Safety Act. I have always said, with anything, that if there's ways to do something better, you want to continue to, every single day to get better. And if there's some things that we need to do with the Safety Act, and I haven't been convinced of that yet, we should be willing to do it. Cook County has a new chief judge who just got in December. And said he'd like to take a look, sit down with other judges and experts and see if there's anything that he would recommend. He asked that we give him to the end of January to come back to us with some recommendations. And I think we should give him that time. If the chief judge of Cook County, county that I live in, comes in and says, I think we have some things that we should probably tweak, we should be open to that. I've also said that I'm going to probably reconvene my public safety working group and have them talk to folks outside of Cook County. I think we should always have an opportunity to take a look at things and make things better if we can.
Another topic I want to ask you about is the Trump administration's actions in Illinois. There's a lot of different directions we can take this, holding up funding, but I really want to focus on immigration enforcement, but it's really just ICE activity because it seems like a lot of it goes beyond immigration enforcement. And in fact, I just spoke about this with Attorney General Kwame Raoul last week. But talk to me about what most concerns you about what you see happening in Illinois and really across the country and other blue states and cities now.
What concerns me most is that what we see coming out of President Trump and Washington Republicans is an immediate threat to our democracy. And if we're going to preserve our democracy, we cannot be indifferent. We can't have people staying silent like Illinois Republicans have done since Trump has been back in office. What we are seeing is a blatant violation of our Constitution on so many different levels. This ICE activity and the violations of people's due process, the excessive force that's being used on folks in Illinois and Minnesota and in blue cities across the country are blatant violations of the Constitution. And we have to stand up, we have to speak up, and we have to fight back every chance we get. That's what concerns me, is that Trump is trying to destroy our democracy, and we have to stand up, speak up, and fight back.
Last year, the General Assembly passed a law, passed legislation. Governor Pritzker signed it into law in December, creating new protections at courthouses, hospitals, daycares, places like that. What sort of gaps remain? What else can state lawmakers do to protect Illinoisans from what you say is federal overreach?
I certainly would say it's federal overreach, and I was proud to be the lead sponsor of that bill in the veto session, which I worked closely with our Latino caucus on. The Senate president was a sponsor in the Senate. And we do believe we closed some important gaps because those are safe spaces, hospitals, courthouses, higher education institutions, daycare centers. We shouldn't see folks ripped out of daycare centers in front of children. That's just unbelievable. And so we know that the Trump administration is trying to challenge that. We believe that's going to stand up in court. If there's other things that we need to do to address that, one thing you can count on us in Illinois doing is addressing any gaps that we see. Under our system of federalism, states can fight back, and we're leading the way on that, and we're not afraid to push back and try to do everything we can to preserve our democracy.
Some states have worked, and I don't think this has been successful that I've seen, but to say being masked as a law enforcement agent is not acceptable. Where is Illinois on that?
Yeah, that one came up for us in the veto session, and that one our lawyers are still looking at passing a state law to tell federal officers what they can or cannot wear, has some constitutional questions around it. But we're still looking at it. If there's a way that our folks can get comfortable with it, I'd love to know that. Because as a lawyer who understands civil rights and has tried cases related to civil rights, they can't hide. They can put those masks on. But they can be sued in court, and a judge can force the agencies to reveal who was behind those masks. And so do understand that we know our rights. We understand our rights, and we're going to continue to fight and protect those rights. If there's other rights that we can create and pass into law, we're going to do that too.
I know we're almost out of time. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the last week that Congressman Mike Bost has standing to challenge Illinois' law allowing mail ballots to arrive up to 2 weeks after Election Day. Presuming you support the law as it is now, why do you think it's appropriate or fair to allow that length of time for ballots to be counted?
Listen, Illinois believes in providing access to the ballot box. Our law is working. What Donald Trump and Republicans like Mike Bost are doing is trying to find ways to suppress the vote. When they suppress the vote, they win. When people get to vote and we expand access to ballot boxes, Democrats win. And so that's why you're seeing these efforts all across the country by Republicans to try to find ways to suppress and intimidate people out of voting. And that's been their way historically, and that's what they continue to do. And we should encourage participation in our process. That's what democracies do. That's what healthy democracies do. And what Republicans like Mike Voss and Donald Trump do is try to prevent people from participating in our democracy, because that's how Republicans win.
House Speaker Chris Welch, thank you for your time.
Brian, as always, thank you.
Emmanuel Chris Welch is a Democrat from Hillside. He's been Speaker of the House since 2021. Coming up after the break, we'll hear a Republican perspective on the upcoming legislative session, Senate Minority Leader John Curran. Plus, we'll talk with Dan Petrella of the Chicago Tribune about some of the other things that could come up in the upcoming session. Before we take a break, I want to make a pitch for our texting group. You can join by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. We frequently send messages about some of the shows we are working on, ask you for your questions and comments to be submitted, and we share those with guests on the program. Again, you can join by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. If you're driving now, you didn't get all that down, you can always find out how to join on our website, 21stshow.org. More to come after a break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us.